Shell Oil still covets Alaska despite the crash in gasoline prices, plus new evidence of strength for jobs in America. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Over the last week, 43,000 fewer people had to file for unemployment benefits, which is a good sign. On Thursdays, we consult Diane Swonk, the chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
It says here you have to go back to the halcyon days of April 2000 to find jobless claims this low. There are some interesting subtleties playing out here.
Absolutely. One of the things we saw at the beginning of the year was a surge in the return of veterans home again and entering the labor market, having to take jobless claims. Those numbers are now starting to abate. We also saw during the holiday season, wealthy Europeans and Russians weren't showing up in places like New York, and that actually caused some layoffs in the retail sector at the beginning of the year. That's now abating as well. But overall, we're now moving into a more normalized period, and I think we're going to see some lower in general unemployment claims going forward.
Now, there are jobs, and we want people to have jobs, but we also want people to get paid. And tomorrow, there's the Employment Cost Index.
The Employment Cost Index comes out tomorrow, and after really dipping at the beginning of 2014 because of the polar vortex, we saw it climb back a bit in the second and third quarters. I think we're going to see some moderation again in the fourth quarter. Unfortunately, the best news that consumers have these days is not the money they're getting from their employers. It is the money they're getting through the back door by the fact that prices at the pump have plummeted, and that is really affecting the masses, not just the minority of workers working in very high-paid industries or very high-paid jobs.
Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial, thank you.
Thank you.
We could also see low oil prices adding fuel to the consumption fires tomorrow when the government releases its first estimate of economic growth covering the last 3 months of 2014. The economy had been growing at an annual rate of 5% the quarter before. The first of the big oil companies to report their latest round of results is Shell today. The Anglo-Dutch company managed to increase its profits, even with the price of gasoline we've all been seeing. CEO Ben van Beurden says he's cutting spending by $15 billion over the next 3 years to adjust, but in a controversial move, Shell will keep expanding off Alaska. Kamal Ahmed, business editor at our partner broadcaster, the BBC, has just been talking to the Shell CEO. Kamal, what did he say?
Clearly, as with oil, all oil majors affected by the low oil price, and Mr. van Beurden did say that that was weighing on the business. Profits actually up, let's not forget, of course, but broadly, some improvements in the business, although analysts have been saying this morning that they are a little disappointed with the numbers and that Shell needs to be a much more efficient business in terms of getting product out of the ground and getting it to customers.
And there was news about Alaska.
Quite surprising this. In a low oil price environment, a lot of people were thinking that Shell's moratorium on its Alaska project would be extended and that it wasn't going to go back to drilling in that area. Chukchi is the area it is looking at off the Alaskan coast anytime soon. But actually today, Mr. van Beurden said that Shell is minded to drill with exploration rigs in Alaska this year. Now, there are a lot of legal challenges to that, which are ongoing. Greenpeace, the environmental organization, has come out saying that no risk should be taken with the what they describe as the pristine environment of Alaska. So quite a surprise, but Mr. van Beurden said that this was one of the last remaining great reserves of untapped oil. Of course, that will be controversial.
Kamal Ahmed is business editor at the BBC in London. Kamal, thank you.
Thanks very much.
NASA today said it'll try again tomorrow after scrubbing the planned launch of a satellite this morning with the moniker Soil Moisture Active Passive, SMAP for short. That's a reference to the type of scanners that'll be aboard this thing. The three-year, $900 million mission to study the Earth's moisture has attracted the interest of several private companies. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore explains why.
SMAP. SMAP. The name is not super compelling. But the mission is, at least for 45 government agencies, insurance companies, agriculture companies, weather forecasters, and environmental groups who have signed on to work with NASA.
SMAP is a mission that's going to measure soil moisture.
Bradley Dorn is a project manager at NASA. The satellite will measure the wetness of the Earth's soil using microwave radiation. Soil wetness is of interest
for a number of reasons. One largely is drought and understanding drought better, but also in things like flood forecasting and weather forecasting. The information's unprecedented.
Companies like John Deere and Storm Center, agencies like the World Food Program and the New York City Department of Environmental Protection have been preparing to use the soil moisture data for everything from managing water supplies to monitoring global crop production. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
And what do you use at work? Google's Gmail or Outlook for Microsoft? Amazon is launching its own email and calendar system. It'll have a professional sheen to it. The name is Workmail, and it'll be a subscription service. This is part of the ongoing campaign by competing companies to own the ecosystem in which we live our virtual lives. Amazon profits are due later today. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.